turn back with me again. When I say last week, I'm referring to Sunday, last Sunday, Sunday a week ago. I want you to turn again to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Luke, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, he is Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, again, my subject is the same as it was last week. We're talking about the ministry of Jesus, or the ministry of Jesus Christ. And here he reads from the book of Isaiah, and he's reading about himself and his ministry and what he came to do. And we covered this last week, and I won't say a whole lot about it today, but the first thing he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now I'm reading from the New King James Bible. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, you might remember I told you last week that gospel means good news. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. And let me tell you something. Listen to me real good. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the living God, is the answer for poverty. The word of God is the answer for poverty. Praise God. God knows how to lead us out of a tough situation into a victorious situation. God knows how to do that. What we have to learn to do is to trust him. And we have to learn to apply his word to our lives and to our situation. And we must learn patience. Things don't happen just like that. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't always happen just like that. That's the reason we've got to stand, and refuse to give up, refuse to give in, knowing that God told you the truth. And so you're going to stand until it manifests in your life. So Jesus said, "I came to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor." So it stands to reason that if you are living in poverty or if you are poor in any area, the good news is, hey, you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to remain in poverty. There's someone who loves you, and not only does he love you, but he has the power to deliver you. Hallelujah. He loves me. Oh, yes, he does. He loves me, but he also has the power to deliver me from all bondages in my life. And that's what we have to learn to do. We have to find out what he says in his word, and we have to stand on that and allow the word of God to develop our faith so we can draw on that power and be set free from whatever it is that has us bound. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I told you last week, and I'm not going there again, but you, if you are tuning in, if you weren't with us last week, I took you to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13. But we have to learn, to seek God. We have to learn to seek God. Too many times we want God's blessings to just fall on our head like an apple or an orange on a tree or something. But no, we have to seek God. Amen. And we're told to seek first in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You have to understand that God's blessings in your life is for his glory, for your benefit. Let me say it this way, for our benefit and for his glory. You know, if you're not living for the Lord, but you receive a miracle from God, maybe a healing miracle from God, you know what? God heals you because he loves you, and he promised that in his word. But God doesn't heal you to go out and serve the devil. He's healing you to serve him. He's healing you to walk with him. Amen. He's healing you to glorify his name. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to move on. So we know that Jesus said, "I came to preach the gospel to the poor." And Jesus said that. Glory of God. Glory to God. But not only that, listen what else he said. He says, "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And especially this time that we're living in, and I told a number of people, and like, as you already know, I'll be 70 tomorrow. Today is May 3rd. Tomorrow, May 4th, is my 70th birthday. And so I've been around a little while. I have never in my lifetime seen anything quite like this coronavirus that we're still dealing with. I haven't seen anything quite like it. And I was born in 1950, so I've been here a while. And I hadn't seen anything quite like it. And one thing I am noticing, though, that it is depressing a lot of people. Yes, some folks have died because of this virus, and some of them have died, other things killed them, but they may have had the virus. But anyway, people have died. But I want to let you know something. We got to be real careful here, because, and as I told you earlier, there are people dying because of a broken heart, because of fear. What I'm hearing, and maybe you're hearing the same thing, but one of the things that I'm hearing is there are folks that are, you know, they're afraid of the coronavirus, but yet and still they allow themselves to get into a state of depression, to where some of them are taking their own lives. Folks, that's worse. That is worse. And let me tell you something. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to get you into a state of depression. He wants you to become discouraged. He wants you to get to a place where you just don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, then you stand, there's a high percentage chance that you're going to make the wrong decision. You're going to make the wrong decision. But let me tell you something. We've got to stand up and make a decision that we're not going to let this happen to us. We're not going to allow this to happen to us. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. I hope y'all hear me out there. Praise God. So Jesus said, I've come, I've come to heal your broken heart. You know, if whatever is bothering you, I've come to heal you. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Praise the name of the Lord. Isaiah 61. Now, remember I told you Jesus was reading about himself, and this is where he was reading from, the book of Isaiah. And so we see here where Isaiah prophesied about the good news of salvation. He prophesied about Jesus. And so in Isaiah chapter 61, I'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is where Jesus was reading. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You see that? Amen. To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But now look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Well, let me finish verse 2. I'm going to read verse 2 and then we're going on into verse 3. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Get that. To comfort all who mourn. Remember, he says he's come to heal the brokenhearted. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, grab a hold of that. The last part of verse 3 says, that he may be glorified. Now, here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to grab a hold to. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. And so if your heart is broken, if anything's bothering you at all, and it doesn't have to be the coronavirus, you know, maybe you've lost a loved one, you know, or maybe you have a loved one that is sick, or maybe there's something going on that's causing your heart to be broken. In other words, you are not at peace. Well, I am here to tell you that Jesus said that I have come to console all of those that mourn. If you're in mourning about anything, if you lost anything, if anything's bothering you, allow him to console you. Allow him to give you that peace that passes all understanding. Are you still here? Hallelujah. You know, when you mourn, you're in grief, you're in sorrow, you're suffering from the loss of someone or something that was dear to you and that was beloved. Now, I've said this a number of times, and I want to say it again. I'm so proud of Johnny Frank and Rose. I'm so proud of them, and this has been a lot of years ago. But their daughter was in an automobile accident, and she lost her life in that accident. And I was our church was fairly young at that time. And matter of fact, I think that was after I began pastoring Word of Life. I think her homegoing was the first one that I did, if I'm remembering correctly. But one of the things that I did as I was helping the family with the funeral arrangements and doing all the things that we needed to do, I watched them. They didn't know I was watching them, but I was watching them. And I just watched and I observed the peace that they walked in. Now this was their daughter. This was their child. But I saw the peace of God all over them. As we were going, doing what we had to do, we had to go. I went with them, picked out the caskets, and that's not an easy thing, folks. And we went through it all, and actually, Brother John was actually on the scene of the accident before his daughter was removed, and he saw all of that. Yet, listen to me, I saw the supernatural peace of God come over them. Listen, folks, I'm here to tell you that there is someone here to help us in tough times. He's here to comfort those that mourn. Whatever you are going through, you are not supposed to handle it by yourself. No wonder Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. We need help. But too many times, we try to handle everything by ourselves. When we are told in the book of Peter to cast our cares upon him, cast all your cares upon him. Why should I do that, preacher? Because he cares for you. God doesn't want us worried. God doesn't want us burdened down. God doesn't want our lives in disarray. We don't know if we're going or coming. God doesn't want us to feel like we've suffered such a loss that there is no way out. You know, we have a thing that people say, and they mean well, but they say, well, you know, I tell you what, you know, we've gone through this, we've gone through that, we've lost family member, and so what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to grieve. Well, if you lose a loved one, you're going to miss that loved one. Amen. Yeah, you're going to miss that loved one. We know that, and you probably shed some tears over that loved one. But let me tell you something. You need to make sure you get free from that grief as soon as you can, because it will mess your life up. There are people right now sitting in facilities because the spirit of grief got a hold to them and caused them to literally lose their mind. They're not even thinking coherent any longer. And it's not anything physically wrong with them. It is a mental thing. It's an emotional thing that has grabbed. Do you know, just like you can be sick in your body, you can be sick in your mind and in your emotions? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. So we have to make sure that we protect those. Well, Pastor, how do I protect them? You protect them with the word of God. You begin to speak the word of God over your life, even when you don't feel like it. You know, you may be shedding tears, you know, but you still need to say, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even while you're shedding tears, if you have to, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just like if your body is in pain, you still need to say, by his stripes I have been healed. Although you're hurting, although you're physically hurting, you still need to proclaim the word of God. By his stripes I have been healed. Jesus himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Are you still here? Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus came to console all those that mourn, the brokenhearted. And he bore our griefs and our sorrows. Look at, flip back, backwards to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse 4. Surely, surely, he has borne our griefs. Hallelujah. And carried our sorrows. Read to you again. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The rest of the verse says, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But you got to know, he bore your griefs. He bore your sorrows. Jesus bore it. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God he did. Hallelujah. And you know what? It says that he might be glorified. Let me read verse 3. I'm back at Isaiah 61. And I want you to grab a hold of this. Isaiah 61. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful ashes. Let me tell you something. Do you feel like you're on the ash heap right now? Maybe your life has been miserable. Maybe you've done some things, have been involved in some things, and now you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the memory of those things still try to haunt you and so forth. But listen, Jesus says that he gives beauty for ashes. You might have been on the ash heap, but go ahead and get off the ash heap, because he has given you beauty. Isn't it good to know that we are not the person we used to be because of Jesus Christ? I'm not the person I used to be. That's the old James. The old James. I'm not the old James. I'm the brand new James. I'm the brand new creation in Christ Jesus. I am no longer on the ash heap. I am experiencing Christ's beauty. I'm experiencing his beauty. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Wherever you are right now, wherever you are right now, if you're born again, say, I'm beautiful in the Lord. Now, we're not getting stuck on ourselves. Just say it again. I'm beautiful in the Lord. Say it this way. The Lord has made me beautiful. See, there's nothing we can do for ourselves, but he has done it for us. Praise God. Praise God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, and if you're on the ash heap right now, just surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. Make me beautiful on the inside, Lord. Because God works from the inside out. Let me say that again. God works from the inside out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And so he gives them beautiful ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we've talked about that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. I don't get my joy from what's going on around me. Amen. The Lord is my joy. And listen to this. He gives us, verse 3, he gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's the reason, listen to me. I don't care what you go through. I don't care what you have to deal with. I don't care what come down the pipe. Don't you stop praising God. Don't you stop praising God. That's the wrong thing to do, is to stop praising God. Amen. I remember when Jehoshaphat, in the Word of God, when Jehoshaphat was facing the army and physically speaking, they were no match for this army. So they sought the Lord on what to do. And so God said, put the tribe of Judah out front. Put the tribe of Judah. You won't even have to fight fight in this battle. Put the tribe of Judah out front. And you know what? Judah means praise. Judah means praise. Put the praisers out front. Put the praisers out front. Hallelujah. So Jehoshaphat put the praisers out front, and they began to praise and magnify the Lord. And the enemy, this large army that was coming against them, got confused, and they turned on each other. They turned on each other. They didn't even have to fight. Let me tell you something. It don't matter what you're dealing with, brother or sister. Don't you stop praising God. You keep on praising God. You keep on magnifying God. There is power in your praise. Power in your praise. There's victory in your praise. The devil would love to see you cry. He would love to see you folding your arms in hopelessness, not knowing what to do. When you don't know what to do, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So he gives us the oil of joy for mourning and this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Like I told you, I'm not going to finish this here today. But what I want to leave with you, always know that Jesus came to heal your broken heart. He came to give you peace. He came to give you victory. As I get ready to close this, I want you to grab a hold of this. Remember, saints of God, remember this. Don't let this slip. Please, don't let this slip. When you are winning, it brings glory to God. When you are winning, God gets the glory. Amen. Let me tell you, when you are joyous, even though things around you are is in an upheaval, I mean just confusion everywhere, but when you refuse to allow fear, frustration, disappointment, discouragement to take a hold of you, but you chose to praise God and to worship God and to magnify God, you know that brings glory to him. And someone who's down, miserable, frustrated, they see the smile on your face and they want to know, and they may be mad at you. Why are you so happy? Why are you smiling? I don't see anything to smile about. Don't you know there's a virus out there? Don't you know this is going on? Don't you know that's happening? You need to wipe that smile off your face. This is serious stuff. Your response needs to be, you're absolutely right. This is serious stuff. That's the reason I'm smiling. This is serious stuff. That's the reason I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because my Lord's already given me the victory. Hallelujah. My Lord's already given me that peace that passes all understanding. I'm not walking by my understanding. I'm walking by what he said. He told me to rejoice, so I'm going to rejoice whether I feel like it or not. Stop doing stuff because you feel like it. Just do it because he said do it. You ever walk by your child when they was at home, or you may have some at home right now, and they got this miserable look on their face, and you look at them and say, won't you smile? And you know what their response is? I don't feel like smiling. Listen, we don't wait till we feel like it. We start smiling even when things are not going well. We start rejoicing and praising God even when things are looking bad. We still bless the name of the Lord because that's what he told us to do. And he is faithful that promise. Again, he is faithful that promise. And when you are victorious in him, he gets the glory for it. We're the one that's blessed and he gets the glory. Let me tell you something. When you are able to pay your bills, guess what? That's a blessing to you. Yes, it is. It's a blessing to you, but it also brings glory to God when you testify to the fact that God provides for me. God opened doors for me. Amen. God wants to get the glory out of our life. That's reading it says in I believe it's 1 Corinthians where it says God takes nothing and makes something out of it. Why? So that he can get the glory. We get blessed and he get the glory. We get blessed and he get the glory. Why don't y'all say this with say, I get blessed and he get the glory. Come on, say it again. I get blessed and he get the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But let me tell you something. When you choose to stay miserable, frustrated, beat down, the devil gets the glory out of that. And folks see you and say, I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian. They've been talking to me about becoming a Christian. Wonder what's wrong with them. If I got to be miserable like them, I don't think I want to become a Christian. You don't ever want anybody to say that because of you. No. Jesus came to set us free. He came to give us life. Worth living. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much.